So I want a new drug. One that won't make me sick. One that won't make me crash my car and make me feel 3 feet thick. Barking on a thin line, straight off the front line. Labeled as freaks, loose on the streets of the city. The harder rock and roll, harder rock and roll's to beaten.
There were a few of us who were over 25, dare I say it, or even over 30, who still like to rock. And just because you weren't running around, you know, stealing cars, didn't mean you weren't a real rock and roller. Hi, everybody. This is Huey Lewis, and I'm in the studio for sports.
You know, people have done a lot of outrageous things in the pursuit of rock and roll stardom. They've covered themselves with sequins, tied their hair in technicolor knots, painted their faces, and even put safety pins through their cheeks. But in 1984, Huey Lewis and the News hit it big with a concept that had rarely been tried in this rock and roll game, being normal. There was nothing fancy about the music on Sports, which was released in September of 1983, their third album. Meat and potatoes rock and roll, commercial without being bland, charming without being cutesy. The songs on the album Sports, even the first time you heard them, sounded familiar somehow, as comfortable as your father's chair. And that feeling was reinforced when you saw the guy who was singing them. There was something about Huey Lewis's look that made the songs even more appealing. Maybe it was his clothes, the sports coat tossed on over a t-shirt, or maybe it was the twinkle in Huey's eye, that look of gentle mischief. In short, Huey Lewis looked like a great guy. At heart, Huey Lewis says he's just kind of an old hippie. In fact, in some ways, Huey feels he's more of a hippie now than he was in the 60s. In the studio, I asked Huey Lewis what he meant by that.
I take things lighter. I'm a little less sort of competitive, I think. I think more in terms of our band as a family, and I'm more willing to do things for the feel of things, you know what I mean? I'm more concerned with people's emotions now than I was before. I think in the early days, I was really looking pretty much out for myself. Although, you know, I had very long hair and everything else, I think I had the sort of trappings of hippiedom, if you will. You know, I was really kind of looking out for my own ass, and now I think more about the group more. I mean, our band is a real family in that sense, and we really sort of care for one another, and we make decisions a lot of times based on that as much as how successful or popular they're going to make us, if you know what I mean.
Heart and Soul from the Sports Anniversary Double CD Edition. Huey Lewis was actually born Hugh Craig III in 1950. Huey grew up in Marin County, California, just outside San Francisco. His father was a physician and an amateur jazz drummer. His mother, an artist. Huey says his was definitely not your all-American family upbringing.
I think I kind of look like the boy next door, but I'm obviously not. I've had anything but a normal sort of upbringing. I mean, my mother is a wild artist. I mean, she's just, she's a sculptress and a paint artist and a video artist and does all kinds of wild stuff. And my father also, who lives in a trailer and fly fishes, plays jazz and cooks his own exotic meals. They're just, my parents really are the most eccentric part of the family. I guess in a way, I'm sort of the backlash to that, but I was always encouraged to try anything and everything. There was always a lot of music around the house. My father convinced me to go away to school for high school. I went to a prep school in New Jersey. I played a lot of baseball at the time. I took a harmonica in my junior and senior years of high school. I started playing a little bit. And between high school and college, I took a year off and hitchhiked in Europe, and I took the harmonica because it kind of fit the image. I had long hair at the time, and I just, it was very hard to get rides in places like Spain. You could stand by the side of the road for 12 hours without getting a ride. So needless to say, I played a lot of harmonica. I got pretty good at it, and after a year in Europe, I came back. I went to Cornell University for about 3 minutes over the course of a year and a half, and joined my first band. Finally dropped out of school, moved back to California, and joined the band Clover. And after playing sort of 3 or 4 years in clubs, got signed to a record deal in England, and that's when my sort of professional career started, if you will.
That prep school in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, was a far cry from the laid-back childhood Huey had known in California. It was a strict place full of academic demands and social pressure. But looking back on it, Huey Lewis says the experience was worthwhile.
Well, I got to see how the other half lived. I grew up here in California, you know, and I was a sort of a lower middle class kid, and I'd never seen people who lived like that, who were like that. I had done pretty well in school. I had pretty good grades, and I played baseball, and the combination of those things got me in there. And my dad just thought it would be a good experience for me, which in retrospect it was. And after 3 or 4 years of going to this school, I was ready to go on to college and play ball and study engineering and all this. And that, at that point, my dad said, you know what, you're 16, I was a year young, you're 16 years old, and I'm only going to make you do one more thing in your life. And I said, what's that? He says, I don't want you to go to college yet. I want you to take a year off and travel in Europe. My father, who had talked me into going to this private school to begin with, now made me take a year off before going to college and travel around Europe. You know, that was very valuable. And his point was that a lot of people don't, you know, figure out what it is they really want to do until it's almost too late, or in their, you know, mid-30s and so on, and they wish they had done something else. And that was definitely the case with me, because I took a year off, discovered the harmonica. By the time I went back to college, I was convinced that all I wanted to do was play harp. That's when I had really made it. When I went away to Europe and I sort of hitchhiked through Europe, and I would panhandle or play harp, you know, busking they call it, in the subways and stuff. I'd make like $5, pay the youth hostel, get some soup, and I was a happy guy. I you know, I had made it in my own mind. I was providing for myself and doing what I love to do, and I think I made up my mind at that point that this is all I was going to do, you know.
When I'm down,
After his travels through Europe and a brief stay at Cornell, Huey Lewis returned to the Bay Area in 1969, intent on pursuing a musical career, but in the meantime, taking a series of other jobs to support himself.
I drove truck, first of all, and in fact, I wrote Working for a Living driving a truck, and I'd play, you know, played harp again. I was a carpenter a little bit. I was a short order cook a little bit. Me and a pal started a landscape business. That was kind of funny. We pretty much pulled weeds, you know, and then we met an architect who was a wonderful guy actually, and together we started the first recycling business in I think the first one in California. And his idea was that we would have a recycling center and so on. We started the center, and that we would do it for profit, which we never made. But we did that for a few years, and then with another friend, I started a natural foods distribution business. And I did all that while I was playing in Clover, and even while I was putting this band together for almost 10 years there. I would work sort of the day job and then do this at night.
Clover was the Bay Area band that Huey joined in 1972. The band's country rock sound had a small but devoted following, and in 1976, Clover was signed by an English record label, and they all moved to London, hoping to take advantage of the pub rock movement that seemed to be on the verge of taking off in England then.
They kind of thought when we came to England, we would just play a couple gigs and take the country by storm. Well, funnily enough, because there was nothing going on in Britain at the moment, funnily enough, the day we arrived, after we did all these negotiations and stuff, it took us a few months to actually get it together. And when we flew over, almost the day we arrived, or within a week of when we arrived, Johnny Rotten spit in the face of the first NME reporter, and the game was on, and punk just took the country by storm. And here we were, kind of a country rock band, you know, definitely wrong place, wrong time. Clover had spent sort of 6 years trying to quote-unquote make it, trying to have a hit single, trying to be commercial, trying to sort of sound like what was happening at the moment on the radio. And I didn't sing a lot because I had this sort of low, rough voice and was led to believe, you know, in America, anyway, there weren't any voices like mine on the radio. It was all sort of soaring tenor voices, and I didn't sing. I just played harp in the band, which was my decision as well as everybody else's, because you know we're trying to be quote unquote commercial. But when I saw the punk bands, and not only the punk bands, but bands like Rockpile and so on, I saw bands that were, you know, sort of thumbing their noses at the record companies, saying we're just going to play our own quirky music the best way we know how and have a good time. And I thought to myself, what a relief, you know. And if Clover ever breaks up, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back home, I'm going to get my five favorite musicians, and we're just going to play for the hell of it, just like we did in the 60s. And in fact, that's finally what happened.
Okay, we're going to dedicate this next song to all the ladies sports fans. How about...
From the Sports Anniversary Edition, one of four top 10 singles from the Sports album. When we return, you'll hear how Huey Lewis put together the original band that would become The News. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and you can hear a whole lot more of your favorites at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, you're in the studio with Huey Lewis, Sports.
Welcome back, sports fans. This is Huey Lewis of The News in the studio.
Thanks, Huey. I'm Redbeard. After Clover broke up in 1978, Huey Lewis returned home to California, looking for a way to make music on his own terms. But he wasn't exactly sure how to do it. Jam session musicians, guitarist Chris Hayes, bass player Mario Cipollina, drummer Bill Gibson, keyboard player Sean Hopper, and sax player Johnny Calla hooked up with Huey Lewis to become The News. They released their first album on Chrysalis Records in 1980, but it didn't exactly set the world on fire.
But I realized what a great talent pool of musicians we had, and there were all these clubs that we could play, and how much fun that was, you know, because I had sort of seen it from the other side, and I learned to appreciate how much fun music is for music's sake, you know. And so a local club here called Uncle Charlie's offered me Monday nights to sort of run a jam session. And I just called all these guys who are now The News, who in those days were in different bands. And it was Monday night. Nobody ever worked on Monday night. And we just did a jam thing with, did all the great R&B tunes that I've always wanted to do. And I got to sing all the songs. And we just did it for the hell of it. And it was funny because typically, you know, when we'd finally quit trying to make it, it all really started to happen for us. The first album was entirely my fault, if it's anybody's fault, in that I was so headstrong, and I wanted the band to sound like a live band. I wanted the band to sound bigger than the record. That was the one thing I felt was really important. So, and to sound live, I felt if you just sort of rushed into the studio and did a, you know, maximum of three takes of everything, that it would sound live. What I realized between the first and second album is that it isn't live, it's recorded, and it's faked by its very nature. So if you want a live sound, you have to fake a live sound. So I began to realize that in the second album and pioneered that a little, took a little more time with things on the second album, got a little liver sound, we were a little more patient, more careful about the tempos. All of these aren't rock and roll qualities, but they are what making records is about. And that's what I began to realize is that playing live and making records are two completely different things. And if you try and equate the two, you just get in trouble. Recording is about patience and execution and perfection. These are not what playing live is about. At least not to me. They're not what rock and roll is about. But I began to be a little more patient. And with Picture This, we became better players and better producers. And we learned a lot more. And after those two records, I think we really had kind of found our niche with Sports. We knew when we wrote the tunes for Sports what they ought to sound like and how we could get them to sound like that. We'll be right back. tune was inspired on the Working for a Living tour, where we played Cleveland, quite honestly. But not only Cleveland, places like Cleveland, Detroit, all the towns mentioned in the song. The business seemed to be centered in New York and L.A. And it seemed to me that that's not where the real heart of rock and roll was. That it was in all, it was anywhere there was a little band and an audience. You know, playing the real stuff. And that didn't need to be in New York and L.A. Unfortunately, all the bands that seemed to come from New York and L.A. because that's where the industry was. But my point was, rock and roll is anywhere. It's in Tallahassee, Florida. It's everywhere, you know. Everywhere that there's a band or a guy with a guitar and an audience. Where is the real stuff, the real rock and roll that, with the interplay between musicians, the stuff that's, you know, rock and roll was an upper, right? I mean, Big Joe Turner said, When I get the blues, I gets me a rocking chair. When I get the blues, I gets me a rocking chair. And when the blues overtakes me, I rocks me away from there. And that's what rock and roll is about. It's supposed to take you out of the blues and make you forget the bad things. And where is that in what I saw as the sort of music industry? And I saw that with the people in these small places here and there, you know. And so although I felt that, you know, the song goes, although the old boy may be barely breathing, the heart of rock and roll was still beating. And I thought that it was sort of a reaction to what the industry was trying to do to this thing, you know. It wasn't going to be able to get it done because there were people in these towns who really wanted the real stuff, you know. And always will, I think. I hope.
There's no question that one factor in the success of the Sports album was the sense that Huey Lewis and the News were the real stuff, a band that wasn't just another cog in the Hollywood music machine. Staying in Marin County there in the Bay Area, Huey believes, made a difference for them.
We didn't have to go to L.A. to make our records. We could literally as well as figuratively stay out of Hollywood. And that's always been important to me because I think we have this feel in our band. You know, we're sort of friends first, colleagues second. And I really wanted to keep that feeling with the Sports album. I really felt like it was going to pay off for us. And no matter what happened, I knew the record was going to be at least as successful as the previous two. And I knew that whatever fans we were definitely garnering them on our own terms. And that was what really felt good about the whole thing. Just like in the 60s, the difference between the San Francisco bands and the LA bands. The LA bands in the 60s were all trying to make it. And the San Francisco bands just didn't give a shit. I mean, we were just playing for the hell of it, you know? And that's the feeling I really wanted to keep. Although we were undeniably trying to get a hit for our own sort of welfare, the other 9 or 8 songs were done just for ourselves, you know? And I felt that was important. The one thing about Sports, the album, is that it really, it's seen as this album, this entity, you know. But actually, when you take it song by song, it is literally all over the map. I mean, there's all kinds of music in that album. And that was something that we were told would never work. You have to have one style, and it's got to be really sort of homogeneous, the whole thing. And if we had not, you know, insisted on producing ourselves from the very beginning, we never would have had the balls to put all that different kind of stuff on the record.
The song from the album Sports, with the most serious subject matter, was Walking on a Thin Line, which dealt with the problems facing Vietnam veterans in the early 80s. It had originally been written by some friends of Huey's for use in a television documentary, but Huey was so moved by the song that he wanted to record it himself.
I lost a couple friends in Vietnam, and the tune just lives for me as if I was there. You know, when I sing it, even to this day, I think of them, and it just really lives for me. The song was part of a catharsis, finally, I think, that's sort of needed to happen. That and Platoon and all the things that have happened. It's late, to be sure, but it's something that really needed to happen about that whole mess. Because the neat part about the song was nobody really thought about what it was like to be the vet. That's why the tune lives so much for me.
Sometimes in my bed at night, I curse the dark and I pray for the light. And sometimes the light's no consolation. Fight!
deadly skill, a skill I needed to have to be a survivor.
From the anniversary edition of Sports, that's Walking on a Thin Line, performed by Huey Lewis and the News, but written by Andre Pessis and Kevin Wells. Coming up next, you'll hear the best definition of rock and roll coming from Huey Lewis. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and you can check out much more at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Huey Lewis, the 7 million seller, Sports.
Welcome back, sports fans. This is Huey Lewis of the News in the studio.
Thanks again, Huey. I'm Redbeard. After the recording of the album Sports was finished in late 82, the album, for some reason, wasn't released until September 1983. By then, there were loyal Huey Lewis fans just waiting to propel the album into the top 10. People bought copies of the Sports album as if they were doing a favor for an old friend. Part of the reason so many people were pulling for Huey Lewis was because he never took himself too seriously.
Needless to say, it was a particularly bleak morning. In fact, I was driving to my attorney at the time's house, and it was in the morning, it was raining, and I walked in, and he said, "How you doing? Gee, I'm glad you're here, we got about," and I said, "Just hang on, do you have a pencil and paper, because I got this idea," and I actually wrote the whole song down from beginning to end. In fact, I'd had the sort of idea for the song, and I had a different feel in mind, and so I kind of sung it to the band a little bit, and we wrote a song around it. that wasn't right somehow. I really didn't think it was right, and so, but I didn't want to say right off the bat, gee, that's not it, guys. I'm taking my lyrics back, you know. So we just lived with that for a while, blah, 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 and then I would imply to Chris, gee, there might be something better there. And one day Chris called me up all excited. He said, look, I think I got an idea for that thing. I said, well, come on up. And he came on up to my house, and he brought his guitar and a little tiny pig nose amp, and he played that lick, and he and I just figured it out right there in about, you know, 5 minutes.
Make me feel 3 feet thick. I want a new job.
That's I Want a New Drug, with guitarist Chris Hayes throwing a little Purple Haze lick there towards the end. Eventually topping the sales chart at number one, the sports album stayed in the album charts for 71 weeks. That's nearly a year and a half. It was convincing proof that nice guys don't always finish last, that you don't always need a gimmick to make it in rock and roll. Today, the sports album by Huey Lewis and the News has sold over 7 million copies in the U.S. alone.
I felt that rock and roll was kind of coming out of the closet. There were a few of us who were over 25, dare I say it, or even over 30, who still like to rock. And just because you weren't running around, you know, stealing cars, didn't mean you weren't a real rock and roller. And just because you chose to take yourself not very seriously, didn't mean that you didn't take the music seriously. And I felt nobody had said that before, you know. There was a certain stigma where if you're a serious artist, you're supposed to walk around in a gloom all the time, you know, and be miserable. Well, I think that's jive, you know. I mean, if you're a good songwriter, you're a good songwriter. And the other thing is, I felt that all the songs needed to be was true. If they're true, then they live. If they're false, then they're false. Now, a false love song is no falser than a false song about racism or apartheid. The meaning there is that you can write about anything, you know, politics, world peace, love, true love, or sex, or, you know, a flower. And as long as it's true, it lives. And one is not any loftier ideal than any other one, you know. I always say, when the guy says, I'm going to Kansas City, they got some crazy little women there, and I'm going to get me one, all that has to happen is we have to believe he's going to Kansas City, he knows about the crazy little women, and he wants to get him one. And then it's rock and roll.
Oh,
I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guest, Huey Lewis. In the Studio was written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, and Joe Rhodes for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2013, all rights reserved, transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunei, theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and for the biggest names in rock, visit inthestudio.net.